Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
I want you to turn with me again to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. John chapter 14, we're going to begin to look in verse 12. We've looked at some of these verses a few times. One thing you need to understand is you cannot look at any verse in the Bible too many times. Amen. About the time you think you got it figured out, God will show you there's more to it. You cannot plumb the depths of the revelation of any scripture in the Bible. God always has more revelation to show you. Hallelujah. And so we want to keep looking. So in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus is beginning the transition of speaking out of His ministry and beginning to bring us into our ministry. And He begins to really bring us into the place where He's wanting us to share in what He does and to continue what He's doing. And walk in His way and walk in His will. Praise God. Do you understand that you and I are born again to continue the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll say it again. You're born again to continue the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not my ministry or your ministry. It's His ministry. And He invites us to participate in it. Amen. We get to be a part of what He's doing and what He continues to do. See, the Lord Jesus began it when He was 30 years old. We saw that, and the Holy Spirit came upon Him, and He began His ministry, and He operated in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and He was anointed to preach, to heal, to deliver, to set free and recover, praise God. And we know that He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Hallelujah. And He was anointed, what? With the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. And so He ministered, but thank God Jesus began to recruit disciples. And He began to speak to His disciples, and He would say to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Follow me, and I'll show you how to make other disciples." And He would send them out, praise God, give them power to preach, power to heal, power to deliver, praise the Lord. And we begin to see some of this truth right here in John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. And He says here in verse 12, "Most assuredly I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he also will do, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Notice here that the Lord Jesus Christ is delegating His ministry and His works to the body of believers. Amen. Notice He didn't say to all those that are apostles. No, He said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes." Everybody say believes. In other words, this is being delegated to believers. Isn't that right? So the Lord is in this verse beginning the transference of Him doing it to us doing it. Praise God. And so He is delegating to us His ministry. He's delegating to us to do His works. He's calling us as believers to get involved in doing what He does. Hallelujah. To live like He lives and to do the things that He would do. And so He goes on then in verses 13 and 14 and begins to equip us. He says in verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Praise God. What's He saying there? He, first of all, He's delegating His ministry to us. You know, that reminds me also in Matthew chapter 28. Some people say, well, that was just the disciples then. But in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, when Jesus was raised from the dead, what did He say? He said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." Isn't that right? Remember that in verse 18? Didn't He say all authority? One translation says all authority and power, rule and jurisdiction has been given unto me, and my ruling realm is heaven and earth. But then in verse 19, He turns right around and says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Meaning what? Jesus takes the very authority and power that's been given to Him and now delegates it to us. Hallelujah. And what are we supposed to do with that authority and power? We are supposed to go in all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of people. Amen? Bring them to Christ. Bring people to Jesus. Introduce Christ into their lives and help them to be delivered from the bondage of Satan and be brought into the kingdom of God. And so the Lord Jesus here in verses 13 and 14 then says, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Now, he's not talking about prayer here. See, in John 16, he talked about prayer when he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. But here he's talking about asking, and that word ask, if you know, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I can read what Greek scholars say, amen. And the Greek scholars tell us that the word ask there means to demand. Amen. One translation I read says to demand the things that are due you. Hallelujah. You know what the Lord is doing? He's not only calling us into his ministry, he's giving us the authority to use his name and the authority in his name to do his works, praise God. Are you listening to me? He wants us to operate in his ministry, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own name, but in his name. That goes right along with what Jesus taught in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18, when Mark records the Great Commission there. What did he say? And these signs shall follow them that believe. Come on. I'm going someplace with this. You see, you got to understand something. If there's going to be a great revival in this nation, it's not just going to happen in the pulpit. You can't just have a great revival with the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher anointed. You have to have a great revival with all the body of Christ anointed. All believers knowing who they are. All believers participating and getting involved and realizing that I'm not to sit back and watch the preacher perform. I'm supposed to get in on this thing also. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus is saying here, go in all the world and preach the gospel. Then in verse 17 of Mark 16, he said what? And these signs shall follow the apostle. No, he didn't say that. These signs shall follow your pastor when he anoints you. No, he didn't say that either. Thank God he will follow apostles and he will follow pastors. But he said, these signs shall accompany or follow those who believe. Yes. Notice in all these things, the common denominator is he's talking to believers. How many believers do we have? Hallelujah. Then he's talking to you and me, praise God. He's ministering to believers. See, a lot of the church has been hoodwinked and we've been sold a bill of goods. We've been told, well, you know, you just hang on, hold out, you know, and if you have a problem, take it to the pastor or the leaders and they'll pray for you. And if they don't get it for you, then it's probably not God's will. And you can't do anything but come and sit in the pew. No, blessed be God. You're supposed to be more than conquerors. You're supposed to be an overcomer in this life. You're supposed to be doing the works of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Then he went on and said, how those signs are going to follow? In my name. Woo, glory to God. I've been given the right to use the name of Jesus to fulfill the great commission in my life. Amen? Now, when we say in the name of Jesus, we're saying basically in the name of Jesus and under his authority and in his behalf, I now cast that demon out. Bind the devil. As if Jesus himself were here, because I'm doing it under his authority and in his name, sickness has to go. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus and on his authority, and as if he was doing it himself, I'm going to lay hands on you. The Holy Ghost will come on you and you're going to speak with a new tongue and worship God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Believers are supposed to do that. Amen. I can remember back when the Holy Ghost began to be poured out in what they call now the charismatic renewal, that, you know, the people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit and people were excited. And that's when the full gospel businessmen began to rise up, and you go to these meetings, you had all these lay people and you know, laymen, we call lay people, the church people. And then you had the clergy, which are the, you know, the pastors and whatever. But anyway, the laity of the church was so on fire with the Holy Spirit and so on fire with doing the things of God. If somebody came in and coughed three times, half a dozen people lay hands on them. Hallelujah. You better clear your throat before you got into the sanctuary. Because they were wanting to be used of God. You see, whenever we begin to grasp who we are, and we begin to get full of the Holy Spirit begins to work in us, and we want to be involved in seeing the works of God. You know when the church is going to start seeing miracles? When the whole body desires to see miracles. Come on. See, a lot of church, we just come and we want to have church as usual. But the Lord says if the whole body, see, in Mark's gospel, the sixth chapter, you've got two separate things going on. You have Jesus in his hometown and he's preaching away, and they get offended at him because they won't receive who he is. And the Bible says there he could do no mighty work save he laid his hands upon a few sick folk. Well, you go over and read over in 2 Peter and you'll find out that Peter says that in the days of Noah there were only a few people, that is 8 people, that were saved from the flood. So a biblical definition of a few is 8 people. So if you want to take it that way, Jesus laid hands on 8 people with a headache and was astounded at the unbelief in the crowd. Amen. But he leaves there and goes down into the Galilee area, and all of a sudden they hear Jesus is there, and here comes multitudes of people, and the Bible says, and they were coming to hear and to be healed. They were coming expecting miracles. They wanted to see a miracle. They wanted to experience a miracle. They wanted God to move in their midst. What is true revival in the church? Not when the pastor's preaching revival, but when the congregation is declaring revival. When the congregation is getting involved in the works of Jesus. When you begin to get the revelation, I'm not a pew sitter. I'm a Great Commission goer. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to be involved. I'm a believer. And I've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus. I can do these things. I can lay hands. One of the greatest testimonies I still share a lot of times, and you probably heard it before, but whenever I was first pastoring the first church, the little church I was pastoring took it over, and I'd been there for several months. Then a little lady in her 70s came back from Florida and came up here, and she was in the services, and she would just come up after the first month. She came up to me. She says, "My goodness, I'm telling you, I've learned so much from you. You're the best little pastor we've ever had here. Hallelujah." Well, I was 23, and she was 73. She had a right to call me a little pastor. Amen. And so, you know, she just grabbed a hold of it. And then, you know, we went along like that, and a couple months went on, you know, and she's up here during the spring and the summer months. And then she came to church on Sunday morning. She said, may I share a testimony? Well, I said, well, sure. She is a sweet little lady, and she loved God. And she said, you know, this past week I was in my kitchen, and I slipped and fell. She said, I hit right on my hip and said, I heard it pop, and I laid there and I hurt so bad. And you know, back then that's when you had the phones on a cord that was stuck either on a shelf or on a wall someplace. We're talking about 78, 79. And so, you know, she said, I'm laying there looking up and I can see my phone, but I can't get to it and I can't move and I'm hurting real bad and I'm not scheduled anybody to come. She said, I'm an elderly lady. I'm a widow. I'm living here by myself. And she said, I could lay here for 2 or 3 days. I might lay here and die. Lord, what am I going to do? Can't get to the phone. Can't call anybody for help. Nobody can hear me in here. What am I going to do? And she said, down on the inside of her, she heard these words. She said, I heard the voice of God say, your pastor said that you could lay hands on yourself. You're a believer, and your hands are as anointed as his. Pray and believe for yourself. And she said, I just reached out down there and put my hand on my hip and said, in Jesus' name, I believe I received my healing. And she said, I'll tell you what, the power of God hit me. Something warm went into my hip. I started feeling better. I got up and danced all over my kitchen. Hallelujah.
Today's message is from Pastor Huffman's new series, The Power of the Holy Spirit. You can receive your own copy of this series on CD for $15 by sending your check or money order to Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia 25712. To use your credit card, call 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. And ask for the series, The Power of the Holy Spirit. This series and many other ministry resources are available online at darylhuffman.org. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.